Previously on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
But I myself have spent so much time just internalizing about it and trying to, you know, think about what...
Oh, Kendall, I'm sorry, I'm getting facts.
Get ready for a heap and help and a sassitude. Here comes Cliff and Kendall.
You got bills to pay and the rent is due, but you spent your money all up on food. Your car blew up into a fireball. It would be nice to escape it all. To go someplace where the laughs are free. And there are bad jokes and bad hosts and bits of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We're the show that'll never say die. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall are your hosts. Come along for the ride. Where we can laugh about everything and make it through anything. Belch in your face and hear that ding-a-ring. And occasionally we sing. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. And now that you, the listener, are here, we're ready to start the show.
Oh, Kendall, let's talk about barnyard animals and give them the salute they
Ladies
deserve.
And gentlemen,
oh. Cliff, it smells so bad in here. It smells like a barnyard, like a farmyard. I think Charles has been in here walling around on the floor again.
Well, you know, Mr. Snodbottom said that Charles had stayed here a few nights this week because apparently he was staying with a girlfriend, not married. You know how Mrs. Butter 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 Churn felt about that.
Oh,
and,
yep.
You know, she kicked him out, of course. Big surprise.
Of course.
And he had nowhere else to go, so Mr. Snodbottom, in his boundless generosity, said, why don't you just sleep on the floor of the studio just for a couple nights?
So he's been sleeping on the floor in here?
Yeah, and all he's got to sleep on are these, like, just a big wad of oil-soaked rags that he had in the back of his truck, because he said had to leave with nothing. Kind of, that's neither here nor there. It's certainly not in the barnyard.
Oh, I don't know. It sounds just like a barnyard in here, Cliff.
Yeah.
So, barnyard animals, Cliff. Now, I know that we both grew up in the South, and there are farmyards all over the place. Have you ever been to a barnyard, like to a down on the farm and played around with all the animals?
I've been to places that are like, you know, you pay and you go there. I've never been to like a farm. There aren't really very many of those, like, old-timey, you know, Charlotte's Web-style farms left.
Well, I remember when we were a kid, we went to, out in the country.
Mm-hmm. Heard a lot of that.
And, like, me and my friends, there was a lot of that going on. And me and my friends would go and we'd, like, climb underneath electrified fences. Mm-hmm. To like see the animals, and I remember one time I stood up and got the hell shocked out of me on this electric fence. So I mean, it was basically like watching a cow go down.
Moo!
Shocked. It did its job. It shocked the cow. I would not be good on a barnyard. There's just too many smells, too many dirty things. You know.
There are a lot of smells. One of the big smell makers on a barnyard that we're saluting today is a cow. Mother and father cow.
Mother and father cow.
And did you know that cows are referred to as the foster mothers of the human race because they produce most of the milk that people drink?
Oh, that makes sense. I didn't know that, but it makes sense. Oh.
Now you know, Kendall. And did you know that around 9.2 million cows are being milked on 110,000 farms in the United States?
Oh my gosh.
Isn't this crazy?
I drink soy milk.
Soy milk. Kendall, did you know before they started milking soybeans, they were milking cows? Before milking machines were invented in 1894, farmers could only milk about 6 cows per hour. Today, of course, so many machines milk hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cows.
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, Cliff, I was going to talk first about pigs.
Oh, pig us up, Kendall.
Pigs fit right in with this show. Because a lot of people don't know how intelligent pigs really are, but they are super intelligent. They learn quickly. Mm-hmm. They have an excellent sense of smell. They are very prolific, that females can produce large numbers of piglets each year. And they are not really dirty animals, Cliff. They wallow in the mud to keep themselves cool.
Yeah.
But they will remain extremely clean if given the opportunity.
Yeah.
And of course, most pigs these days are made for breeding and production of meat.
Of course, Kendall. Did you know, on a lighter note, did you know that there's so many things that we have in common with the common cow? The cow chews her cud, which is regurgitated, partially digested food, for up to 8 hours each day. So do we.
Yeah, well, we chew food for hours and hours and hours a day.
Yeah, cows drink about a bathtub full of water and eat around 40 pounds of food a day, and so do we.
Well, I don't know about the water, but we drink 40 pounds of liquid.
Oh, yeah, Kendall. And our average body temperature is about 101.5.
Chickens are big in the barnyard, Cliff.
Chickens are big in the barnyard, Kendall. They're also pretty fast. Chickens can travel up to 9 miles per hour when it wants to, Kendall. Which, why would you want to?
Why would you want to, Cliff? We can do a lot of things, but why would we want to?
Exercise, eat vegetables. Why would I want to?
Cliff, there are table egg-laying chickens. And
they get up on a table and they lay an egg on it. That's what they do.
The chickens start laying eggs between 22 and 24 weeks of age and lay approximately one egg per day until they are 65 weeks of age.
65 weeks. Kendall, can you imagine how happy our listeners would have been if we'd stopped our show at 65 weeks? But we didn't. It's like 200. It's in the stratosphere. 200 and something weeks. It's crazy, Kendall.
There are so many shows.
Maybe not as crazy as the fact that there are more chickens on Earth than there are humans, Kendall. There are more chickens than humans. It's any day now, a chicken uprising. Did you know that this chicken is the closest living relative to the Tyrannosaurus Rex, Kendall?
I did know that. I actually did know that. And, you know, now they're saying that dinosaurs had feathers.
Wouldn't it be neat to just go back and be a fly on the wall? Here's the flaw in all the time travel movies, okay? When you time travel back to the dinosaur days, if you can have the technology to have a time travel machine, can it not also be like a hover machine where you would hover like, you know, several yards above the ground, and then you would be above and you wouldn't disturb anything and you could just look at the dinosaurs?
Well, Cliff, anti-gravity and anti-time dimension travel is two different things.
Anti-M. Kendall, did you know that the longest recorded distance flown by any chicken was 301.5 feet? Yeah! Hmm. Talk about your flight of the chicken there.
Now, chickens aren't really like flying birds, right? I mean, they do these little short
distances. Well, because the longest recorded distance is 301 feet.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, why do they have wings? Why have they evolved to be there and have wings when they don't
why
fly?
Why did my body evolve to be an exact
to
replica
have 12 love
of
animals?
George Lucas character Jabba the Hutt? I don't know.
We've got research staffers on that right now, and they can't figure it out.
To quote Kid Rock, only God knows why.
And that's no joke.
It's no joke.
I don't know if Mr. Snodbottom told you we started a whole new research and development department here at Cliff and Kendall Studios to try to find out why we're so fat.
He did not.
They spend night and day just researching why we're so fat.
Oh my God.
Cliff, at 3 a.m., a desk clerk at a hotel gets a call from a drunk guy asking what time the bar opens.
Oh.
And the clerk says it opens at noon. Well, about an hour later, Cliff gets another call from the same guy sounding even drunker and says, "What time does the bar open?" And she says, "Same time as before, noon." Yeah. So, another hour passes after she does that, Cliff. And he calls again, plastered. And he says, "What Tuesday bar owns that?" And the clerk says, "It opens at noon, but if you can't wait, I can have room service send you something up." And he says, "No, I don't want to get in. I want to get out."
Oh, no.
Oh, Cliff, if I was stuck in a bar, I would sound just like that.
Kendall.
Cliff. Yes.
Ray and Bubba, two old Navy buddies, don't you know? are on leave and decide to go to Bubba's house and get drunk.
Bubba!
And lo and behold, they run out of beer, so Bubba says that he'll go get some more from the Quick Patch store. And as he is leaving, he tells his wife, Linda Lou, to show Ray her best Southern hospitality. And she agrees.
Uh-oh.
And Bubba comes back with the beer and finds Ray and Linda Lou screwing right there on the kitchen floor in front of God and everybody. And Bubba yells, "What are you doing, Linda Lou?" And she says, "Well, you told me to show Ray my best Southern hospitality." And Bubba then says, "Well, girl, arch your back, for Ray's balls are on the floor."
Oh.
Oh,
ho, ho, Cliff.
Oh, ho.
Othello walks into a bar.
Othello walks into a bar.
And he said, "Ouch." Now, he was very down on himself, Cliff.
He said, "Ouch." Yeah.
As he walks up to the bar and the bartender asked, "What's the matter?" And the fellow says, "Well, I've got these two horses." And he's sniffling. He said, "Well, I can't tell them apart. I don't know if I'm mixing up riding times or I'm feeding them the right foods." And the bartender says, "I'm really sorry to hear that." And he says, "Why don't you try shaving the tail off of one of the horses to tell them apart?" And the man stops crying and says, "That sounds like a great idea. I think I'll try it." So, Cliff, a few months later, the guy comes back into the bar, and he's in worse condition than he was before. And the bartender says, "What's the matter now?" And the guy says, "Well, I shaved the tail of one of the horses, and it grew back, and I can't tell them apart again." And the bartender, now just wanting to shut this guy up so he will leave, he says, "Why don't you try shaving the mane? Maybe that will not grow back." The fellow stops crying, drinks a few drinks, and leaves. And a few months later, Cliff, the guy is back in the bar for a third time, and the bartender has never seen anybody in this sorry of a state. Well, without the bartender even asking the fellow, he breaks into his problems. "I shaved the mane, and it grew back." And the bartender is now furious that the guy is just so stupid, Cliff, and he yells, "For crying out loud, just measure the stupid horses. Perhaps one is slightly taller than the other one." And Cliff, the fellow, cannot believe what the bartender has said and storms out of the bar. Well, the next day, he comes back in the bar as if he had just won the lottery. He said, "It worked! It worked! I measured the horses, and the black one is 2 inches taller than the white one." And then he said that.
He said that. Kendall, did you know that one day there was a blonde, and she's just out for a walk, and she comes to a river and sees another blonde on the opposite bank.
Uh-oh.
Yoo-hoo! "How can I get to the other side?" And the second blonde looks up the river, then down the river, and shouts back, "Well, you are on the other side."
Oh, idiot blonde.
Idiot blonde.
Cliff, this man got his prescription for Viagra.
Oh, no.
And he goes home to get ready for when his wife gets home. He calls her on the phone and says, she says, "I'll be home in an hour." And he says, "Perfect." So the man thanks her agreement is because the doctor told him to take his Viagra an hour before, and he takes the Viagra and waits. Well, an hour goes by and the man is ready to go, but no wife. So she calls him on the phone and says, "Traffic is terrible. I won't be there for another hour and a half." And the man, Cliff, is so frustrated, he calls his doctor for advice and says, "What should I do?" And the doctor says, "Well, it would be a shame to waste it. Do you have a housekeeper around?" And the man said, "Yes." And the doctor said, "Well, maybe you can occupy yourself with her instead." Oh. And the man then replied with dismay, "But I don't need Viagra with the housekeeper."
Uh-oh, Kendall, I've got to take a break.
Oh, don't we all, Cliff? I got to take a break before I pass out. We'll be right back after this.
Don't touch that dial. There's more sass on the way. Stay tuned for more Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
I come home at the end of the day, my big fat stomach getting in the way. I want to eat a snack that won't make me fat. I grab a fiber bar. I grab a fiber bar. They'll make you regular, but they won't make you normal no matter how they try. They want to clean your bowels and they want to sing. They want to make you clean. Flush out your bowels, that's all they really want. To clean your colon. Fiber bars, the bars that really want to clean your colon.
And now back to the show.
Here down on the farm.
Down on the farm, kiddo, we're back.
Old McFatty had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Old
and on
McFlabbo.
This farm, Cliff,
yeah.
On this farm, he had a horse. And Cliff, I'm about to tell you all about the horse.
I would love to know all about it. And we'll just spare no detail.
A horse gestation period is 11 months longer than a human's. And many horses, Cliff, will live to their 20s and some live into their 30s.
Horses are just magical.
They are.
I almost hate to see people riding horses because I feel like, and I know that a horse can hold up a person's weight, well, a normal person's weight, just fine.
Not us.
But I don't know, it still makes me sad. A baby horse is called a colt, which it's kind of funny to me because, you know, a lot of like football teams, including my high school, we were the Colts. And I would think that a colt would be like a adult grown strong horse instead of a little baby horse.
No, it's a baby horse.
But I know that, but it seems weird that like a football team would name themselves the Colts, like the baby horses.
No, it's a baby horse. But they're so cute.
You would think they would be the Indianapolis Stallions rather than the Indianapolis Colts.
Indianapolis Stallions. Kendall, did you know that domesticated pigs are one of the most numerous large mammals in the world other than us?
Other than us. We are the most numerous. Cliff, I have got this stack of mail over here that has been sitting for a while, and I feel like we should probably open one and help somebody out.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
You've got questions. We've got answers. Ask Cliff and Kendall.
Why?
Cliff, I'm going to start us out and open up this letter here. Let's see. All right, let's see. Oh, it's so small. Where are my glasses? Hold on.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. All right, dear Cliff and Kendall, my daughter is annoyed with me because I'm not jumping up and down with joy over my grandson's forthcoming wedding. Yes, I am happy they're getting married, but how excited can I get? The two have been sexually involved since they met in high school 4 years ago. She was 16 and he was 17, and for the past 2 years, he and his girlfriend have shared an apartment and lived as man and wife. The bride-to-be's parents are not exactly thrilled either at the expense of this white gown and a few hundred chicken dinners, hall, and a band. However, my daughter insists on it and wants everybody to get excited. Okay, I'm excited. Whoopee. Signed, Granny Mae. Cliff, what do you think about this situation?
Not to be too blunt, but Granny Mae needs to get the fuck over it.
I know.
And support her children.
Exactly. She is focusing on the wrong things. And, you know, if they want to make a positive step to spend the rest of their lives together in a public ceremony and commit, just like so many people, other people would like to do, then she just should celebrate it. And whether she approves or not of couples living together, it's really not her choice to say. They're adults, it's their choice, and she just needs to get over it and be happy about them tying the knot, I think.
Get over it!
Celebrate good times, come on! Kendall, I've got a letter over here.
Read it!
See, I already opened the envelope, I just got to unfold it, which is kind of hard. It's a little dusty. All right, it says, Dear Cliff and Kendall, I made the mistake. Pardon me, Cliff and Kendall, as I jump right into my story. I made the mistake of peeking into my 12-year-old daughter's journal. Her stepdaughter's journal. Stepdaughter. Where I learned she does not like me as much as I thought she did.
That's why I don't read anybody's statements when I'm not around.
Don't.
I don't want to see what's on their computer. It could be a I hate Kindle page.
That's why
I try not to listen to that.
That's why you don't want to eavesdrop on people, kids.
Yes, you don't.
Because you will not like what you hear. But anyway, she didn't like me as much as I thought she did. She calls me names, says she hates me in her journal. And in the real world, she is unfailingly sweet and enjoys helping me care for her infant brother.
Two-Face.
This girl is a bit of a chameleon. She's a chameleon. It's tough to tell what she's really thinking, and all were surprised at how well she seemed to handle the rough transition of her father's divorce and remarriage. Kendall and Cliff, do you think I should tell her what I saw in her journal, or let it alone? And that signed Stepmom in Stepford.
I'm going to say right now, no, I don't think you should tell her. I think you should leave it the fuck alone because she should not be eavesdropping in the first place. And maybe the daughter does hate her, but inside she's thinking, I'm going to try to be nice to her and try to you know, get along with her like my father wants me to. Maybe she's doing that for her sake. And for her eavesdropping, that's what she gets, is finding out that she hates her. And I would hate her too because she's an eavesdropper.
Yeah. Good one, Kendall.
Bitch.
You hit the nail on the head with that one, Kendall.
Well, that's all the help that I can do today. That riled me up so much.
That's all the help I got to give.
That's all I have, and I can't give no more, Cliff.
No.
But I do hear somebody talking to me, Cliff.
You talking to me?
Are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me?
I'm going to read you some quotes.
Are you talking to me?
Some wonderful movies that have existed over the years. And let's see how many you can get, Cliff.
Kendall, are you talking to me? I am big. It's the pictures that got small. No, that was not us.
No, that was Sunset Boulevard.
Sunset Boulevard.
Norma Rae Desmond, was that her name?
No.
No, what was her name in that movie?
Yes, Norma Rae Desmond. The theme song of that movie was, of course, I wish that I had Stacy's mom.
No, what was her name in that movie?
Norma Desmond, not to be confused with union advocate Norma Rae, portrayed by Sally Field.
I combined the two movies, that's all.
It's just a mashup. It's like a Glee. We watch too much Glee. Too many mashups. Okay.
But remember those posters that said, today is the first day of the rest of your life? Well, that's true of every day but one, the day you die.
Was that in old American Beauty?
Yes, it was. I can't believe you got that, Cliff.
I'm a little offended your incredulity and my ability to answer questions correctly.
Wait, I would like for just a moment to pause and let me tell you why I say I can't believe you got that. Because, not because you don't have a genius mind, but because...
It's a beautiful mind.
Because when I have information like that in my head... It is so hard for me to access it and pull it out at the right time, which is what he said, that I'm just surprised that anyone can, like, just think for a moment and have that answer pop up in their head. So that's why I say it. Not because I don't think you're capable of knowing the answer, just that I just am in shock that anyone can find an answer that quickly in their mind.
Well, Kendall, I'm glad to hear you say that. Here goes a quote.
On we bloodly stumble.
Are you talking to me? Kendall, we're both perceived as monsters, but somehow you're a well-respected monster and I am, to date, not.
See, that's what I'm talking about. It is. That's what I'm talking about.
Are you talking to me?
Because it's up there and I know that quote, but I can't access it. So I have no clue.
That was the Penguin in Batman Returns.
Batman.
My second favorite Batman movie.
They, you know, I heard that they might start making a comic about us, Cliff. They're going to call it Fat Man.
Fat Man.
Fat Man, yeah. And Blobber.
And Blobber.
All right, Cliff, are you talking to me? Are you trying to tell me that my mother has got the hots for me? Precisely. Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy?
Kendall, was that the true story of incest?
No, Cliff. That was Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, Kendall.
It was Dr. Brown and Marty McFly.
Marty McFly? All right, ladies and gentlemen. I can envision a day when the brains of brilliant men can be kept alive in the bodies of dumb people.
Was that young Frankenstein?
No, it was the man with two brains. Oh. Not to be confused with the movie about us, the man who takes up two airplane seats.
You know, when you said that, I for a split second thought about that movie. It has been so long since I've seen it. I would like to watch that again.
Oh, memories.
All right, here we go. Are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me?
Nobody gives a horse's shit who you are, fuzzball. You're not even a low-life scum-sucking maggot. Get your maggoty ass on the bus. You're in the army now.
Oh, was that Run, Forrest? Run,
that Forrest! That was. See, I'm... I would have never... in a million years, I've been able to pull that line from that movie in my head.
Can I have to, full disclosure, I saw that and American Beauty easily. I saw them both three times in the theater. I'm that person. Really, truly. Okay. Throw down your guns and come on out with your hands up. Or come on out, then throw down your guns, whichever way you want to do it. Just remember the two key elements here. One, guns to be thrown down. Two, come on out.
Blues Brothers?
Oh.
I know the line. I just can't remember what movie it's from.
Not the Man Boobs Brothers. Us. This was from The Naked Gun 2.5.
That makes more sense.
Smell of Fear. Yeah.
Cliff, that... I'm no longer talking to you. That's all I had to say.
I'm no longer talking to you.
Our listeners are like, oh, thank God the show's over. But no, it's not. We're just doing that segment.
It's not over.
We start saying that at the end of the show. I'm done talking to you, Cliff. And the sad music just plays us out.
Just silence.
Cliff, it has been an interesting trip down to the farm today.
You know, I love the farm. I want to take a minute. I want everybody to take a minute. Wherever you are, if you're at your desk, Kendall's over here. He's in our booth at his microphone. Other people might be walking down the street or driving in their car. I want you to take a moment and just send some positive energy to all the animals in the barnyard. All of them out there. Just send them some love from your heart. Kendall, are you doing it with me? Are you doing it?
I'm doing it.
Are you doing it, Kendall? Send them love. Send it out.
I'm sending them love, Cliff. I'm sending them love.
Send it out.
But as I was saying before you started saying to send all the love to the animals, mid-sentence, that I would just wanted to say one other thing about barnyard animals and barnyards before we move on from this.
Yeah.
One of my favorite memories, as I often like to go to, was when I was younger and on those farmyards or barnyards on the farm, when it's like a early morning and the sun's coming up and there's like some dew on the grass and it's fall and it's a little chill to the air. That is one of the real things I think about when I think about fall, is being out on the farm, out in the country. I had some family that lived out in the country, and that is just like a magical place to live. And I know it'd be like sad to be out in the middle of nowhere with no, access to anything close by, but it really would be a great place to grow up or to live, I think, on the farm with a big wraparound porch.
Oh, it would.
A whole bunch of smelly animals living around. So you can come visit anytime you want.
Our brother, kind and good, was humbly born in a stable of wood.
Oh, they know that. They were there with us.
Friendly beasts around him stood. Jesus, our brother, kind and good. Kendall, I'll always remember our journey to Bethlehem and the friendly beasts of the barnyard that were there with us.
I will too, Cliff. It was such a sad and wonderful moment at the same time.
It was. It was. Oh, it was beautiful. Beautiful.
If our listeners love animals and barnyards as much as us, go to cliffandkendall.blogspot.com. Go to facebook.com/cliffandkendall. Email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com or give us a call on our fat line at 818-308-4FAT.
Sure they should, Kendall. Animals are my friends, and I don't eat my friends. That was said by George Bernard Shaw.
Oh, that's nice, Cliff. People are more violently opposed to fur than leather because it's safer to harass rich women than motorcycle gangs. And that was said by Alexi Sale.
Oh, good one. Kendall, the greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated. And that was said by Mahatma Gandhi. That's actually how you pronounce it, because people just usually can't reach that guttural part of their voice.
That's a good one.
Like I can, just at will.
Cliff, whenever you observe an animal closely, you feel as if a human being is sitting inside making fun of you. And that was said by Ellis Canetti.
Oh, Ellis.
Take us home, Cliff.
Take me home to the barnyard. Where there are chickens and pigs and cows. And the horses and the sheep. In the boneyard, take me home. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you here next week.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.
I'm no longer talking to you. That's all I had to say.